This is Windsor Castle. His Royal Highness, Prince Edward.
At long last, I am able to say a few words of my own. I have never wanted to withhold anything. But until now, it has not been constitutionally possible for me to speak. A few hours ago, I discharged my last duty as King and Emperor. And now that I have been succeeded by my brother, the Duke of York, my first words must be to declare my allegiance to him. This I do with all my heart. You all know the reasons which have impelled me to renounce the throne. But I want you to understand that in making up my mind, I did not forget the country or the empire, which, as Prince of Wales and lately as King, I have for 25 years tried to serve. But you must believe me when I tell you that I have found it impossible to carry the heavy burden of responsibility and to discharge my duties as King as I would wish to do, without the help and support of the woman I love. And I want you to know that the decision I have made has been mine and mine alone. This was a thing I had to judge entirely for myself. The other person most nearly concerned has tried up to the last to persuade me to take a different course. I have made this the most serious decision of my life, only upon the single thought of what would, in the end, be best for all. This decision has been made less difficult to me by the sure knowledge that my brother, with his long training in the public affairs of this country, and with his fine qualities, will be able to take my place forthwith, without interruption or injury to the life and progress of the empire. And he has one matchless blessing, enjoyed by so many of you and not bestowed on me: a happy home with his wife and children. During these hard days, I have been comforted by Her Majesty, my mother, and by my family. The ministers of the Crown, and in particular Mr. Baldwin, the Prime Minister, have always treated me with full consideration. There has never been any constitutional difference between me and them, and between me and Parliament. Bred in the constitutional tradition by my father, I should never have allowed any such issue to arise.
Ever since
I was Prince of Wales, and later on, when I occupied the throne, I have been treated with the greatest kindness by all classes of the people, wherever I have lived or journeyed throughout the empire. For that, I am very grateful. I now quit altogether public affairs, and I lay down my burden. It may be some time before I return to my native land, but I shall always follow the fortunes of the British race and empire with profound interest. And if at any time in the future I can be found of service to His Majesty in a private station, I shall not fail. And now we all have a new king. I wish him and you, his people, happiness and prosperity with all my heart. God bless you all. God save the King.
You have heard the words of His former Majesty, King Edward VIII, speaking to British subjects throughout the world. The National Broadcasting Company has brought you his message through the cooperation of the British Broadcasting Corporation.
Tonight. Never before has a newly crowned king been able to talk to all his peoples in their own homes on the day of his coronation. Never has the ceremony itself had so wider significance, for the dominions are now free and equal partners with this ancient kingdom. And I felt this morning that the whole empire was in very truth gathered within the walls of Westminster Abbey. I rejoice that I can now speak to you all wherever you may be. A greeting, old friends in distant lands, and as I hope, new friends in those parts where it has not yet been my good fortune to go. In this personal way, the Queen and I wish health and happiness to you all. And we do not forget at this time of celebration those who are living under the shadow of sickness or distress. Their example of courage and good citizenship is always before us. And to them, I would send a special message of sympathy and good cheer. I cannot find words with which to thank you for your love and loyalty to the Queen and myself. Your goodwill in the streets today, your countless messages from overseas and from every quarter of these islands have filled our hearts to overflowing. I will only say this, that if in the coming years I can show my gratitude in service to you, that is the way above all others that I should choose. To many millions, the crown is a symbol of unity. By the grace of God and by the will of the free peoples of the British Commonwealth, I have assumed that crown. In me, as your king, is vested for a time the duty of maintaining its honor and integrity. This is indeed a grave and constant responsibility, but it gave me confidence to see your representatives around me in the Abbey and to know that you too were enabled to join in that infinitely beautiful ceremonial. Its outward forms come down from distant times, but its inner meaning and message are always anew. For the highest of distinctions is the service of others. And to the ministry of kingship, I have, in your hearing, dedicated myself with the Queen at my side in words of the deepest solemnity. We will, God helping us, faithfully discharge our trust. Those of you who are children now will, I hope, retain the memories of a day of carefree happiness, such as I still have of the day of my grandfather's coronation. In the years to come, some of you will travel from one part of the Commonwealth to another, and moving thus within the family circle, will meet many whose thoughts are colored by the same memories, whose hearts unite in devotion to our common heritage. You will learn, I hope, how much our free association means to us, how much our friendship with each other and with all other nations on earth can help the cause of peace and progress. And the Queen and I will always keep in our hearts the inspiration of this day. May we ever be worthy of the goodwill which I am proud to think surrounds us at the outset of my reign. I thank you from my heart, and may God bless you all.